for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 24th, 1992. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the minister of the morning.
Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many are glad to be here this morning? Praise the Lord. How many love the Lord? Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this precious time together. We thank you, Lord, that you've drawn the people here to this place this week to hear thy word. And we ask that you be glorified and lifted up this morning in the teaching. We ask the word to penetrate each one of us, Lord. We ask the Holy Spirit to quicken us. And Lord, we ask you to deliver us and heal us and set us free in areas where we are weak, Lord God. Lord, not only from our own sins, but from the sins of the fathers and things that happened in our past. We thank you, Lord, that you are bringing us forth to perfection and maturity. That you are maturing a people and bringing them towards full age. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us in this room will have a greater desire for you today, that they'll love you and serve you and walk with you. And Lord, we know you'll do that with us. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. May the Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. How many know that every seed bears fruit after its own kind? As Glenn said, God's against mixtures. The seed was not to be mixed. You could not mix an ox and an ass together. You could not mix the clothing. There was a law in the Old Testament. And how many know the priest could not wear anything that caused a sweat, which speaks of the curse, which speaks of the works of man? And we've seen enough of men working. We need to see the Holy Ghost working. Isn't that right? I've seen a lot of sweat. I've had a lot of sweat in my own life. Hallelujah. But I want to see God move. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Genesis 1:12, and I want to give you a couple of scriptures here to start off tonight, today. Genesis chapter 1, verse 12, and then I want to take you to the New Testament. Genesis 1 and verse 12. Appreciate that good music this morning. Amen? And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed. Now notice, yielding seed after what? His kind, after his kind. And the tree, notice the herb brought forth after his kind, and then the tree yielded fruit whose seed was in itself after what? Its kind or his kind, and God saw that it was good. Now, verse 29, look in verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat or food. Now go to Matthew 13. Go to Matthew chapter 13 in the scriptures. Jesus talked of seven parables here in Matthew 13. I have a teaching that I teach the seven churches, the seven feasts, and the seven parables, and I put them together. And believe me, that's a long teaching. Seven churches, seven feasts, and seven parables. Now look down with me, please, in Matthew chapter 13, and I want to look at verse 31. And in this chapter, we see the sower, we see the Son of Man, we see the merchant man and the householder, and they all speak of the Lord. How many know that he is doing a work? And in verse 31, it says here, another parable. That means he's already spoke some before this. Another parable, putting forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, which is the same, I see no difference. I know people make a difference, but I don't see any difference in them. I've studied it out both ways. How many know the kingdom of God is where it's from, and the kingdom of God speaks of the one that's over it? Amen? How many know God's over this kingdom, and he has a kingdom? How many know we're the kingdom? Praise God. Now listen to what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. How many's ever seen a little old mustard seed? They remind me of a little grain, pieces of sand or something. They're real small. But he said that this kingdom of heaven is like that grain of mustard seed here. Now notice what it says, which a man took. Now who's the man? It's Jesus. How many know he's placing a people in the earth? Huh? He's placing, notice, this man took and sowed in his field. Well, how many know the world's the field? And God has put us here in this world, isn't that right? Praise God. And so notice the scripture. This man took, sowed it in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it's grown, it is the greatest. Now, it has to be sown in order to be grown, to grow up. But he said, when it's grown, it is the greatest among what? Herbs. Notice, when it grows up, it's the greatest among herbs, this little seed. And it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, I believe that God raised up many men of God in the past, especially back in the 40s and up to, we'd say, now. And how many know God used some men mightily in the earth? And we don't deny that. We believe that. And we've seen the evidence of that in past years. Praise God. And I believe God is going to raise up many other people. But I do believe the one-man show and the big ministry is over, as we've seen it in the past. Don't you? And I believe that God has got... Now, that doesn't mean God's not going to use men. That doesn't mean God's not going to use women. But God's going to use also his body. Can you say amen? And I believe that. And I believe that three things I see that's hurt the church. The rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture like we've known it. The prosperity gospel like we've heard it. And the one-man show. How many know God's going to change that? Now, I'm not against ministries. I'm not against shepherds. I'm not against anybody. But I know the Bible teaches plurality of ministry in the Scriptures. And you can't deny that when you study the Word of God. But, you know, God will take a man. He'll put him in a place. And he'll set him in a position and start a work. And as that work grows, how many know, and as he begins to teach the people, then he has to begin to back off a little bit and allow others to come forth, elders and others in the fellowships. Isn't that right? And we need to see that today. Praise God. But we've looked to one person too long. It's time that we look first to Jesus. Amen? And realize that God wants to raise up many shepherds in this hour. And I believe he's going to raise up a new crop of shepherds. And I've been prophesying God's going to bring the high towers down. I believe he's going to bring many down in this hour. And it might surprise us all, shock us all, who's going to come down. But God's going to raise up many men and women of God in this hour. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. And I want to see it. I want to see the body come together. Amen. And work together and be one. Praise the Lord. Now notice Jesus said something here in this parable. He said that this man took this seed, he sowed it in the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. And again, I believe, brethren, we have to go down. We have to be humble. And we have to walk softly before God if we're going to be used of the Lord. And I believe we all, again, have to look at our own hearts and say, God, if there's pride in me, rip it out. Take it out. And get all the... anything that would, you know, exalt me or man out of me. How many know we can exalt man too much? Isn't that right? Praise God. Now, it says, when it's grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. Now, we know that God put the little seed in the herb and it was to grow up and be an herb. God put the seed there in the ground for a tree to grow and it become a tree and so forth. And so, but you'll notice something happened here in this verse. It says right here that when it's grown, it's the greatest among herbs, and something changed. It becomes a tree. Now, I know herbs can get up so high. And I know we're trees of righteousness. How many believe that today? But I see something happen here. There is a violation of the seed principle. Now, as long as it's an herb, it has no trouble with demons. But when it begins to become a tree, something else that God didn't require to become or allow it to become, then the demons come. Because if you'll notice something, it says here, it becomes a tree so that the birds, and Jesus said those birds were demons, so that the birds of the air, I mean, he's the prince of the power of the air, comes and lodges where? In the branches thereof. He's the vine, come on, we're the branches. Where are the birds? They're in the branches. And so there are ministries who have started in God. I believe most ministries start in God. I believe most ministries are moving in the Lord when they begin. But they get so big, they build their kingdoms. They get so large in the earth that they become something else. God did not allow them, want them to become, I should say. And what happens? The birds come and lodge in the branches. Can you hear what I'm saying? Look in Revelation 18. Revelation 18. Praise God. Revelation 18. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon. How many know that deals with the religious system, the political system, other things? Praise God. Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become something. Come on, the habitation of what? Devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This is a religious system full of demons. Can you hear that today? Now go to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. How many know God brought Nebuchadnezzar down because of his pride? And if God brought him down, how many, he'll bring us down if we allow pride to come in. Isn't that right? So we all must judge ourselves. We're not pointing at anybody. We're pointing at ourselves. I mean, if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. Why are many sick today and weak, and even some have died? Because they refuse to judge themselves. I'm like Irma. I believe in repenting every day. I do. I'm serious. I believe we need a lifestyle of repentance. And if you get down sincere before God, he'll show you right quick some things you need to repent of. Isn't that right? Chapter 4, verse 20. The tree that thou sawest, Daniel's now is giving him the vision. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into heaven, or unto the heaven, and beside thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven, come on, had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown. You see that? It goes right with that parable in Matthew 13. And notice it reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Praise God. Well, if you look back in verse 32, notice the kingdom was departed from Nebuchadnezzar. He had built this great Babylon. He said, isn't this great this great Babylon that I built? And when he said it, how many know God brought him down? Tell you, brother, we're not to brag on ourselves or our kingdom. We better brag on Jesus. In verse 32, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. Seven times would pass over him. He'd be like a beast. Now look down to verse 36 and what he said at the end here. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned to me. And my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All his works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able. How many believe he's able? He is able to abase or to humble. Amen. Hallelujah. God's called you into a ministry or whatever that ministry is. How many know it's important that you and I this morning function and move in that ministry and don't try to be something else? Don't try to be something, you know, God hadn't called you to. I can show you in the scripture like Saul, Uzziah, and others who pushed them, and Absalom pushed themselves into another ministry, and every one of them died. Everyone died that pushed himself into another ministry. How many know that's dangerous? We cannot do that. We've got to be exactly what God said. Now, look over in 1 John just a minute, chapter 2. I'm just going to go as the Holy Ghost leads me here now, because I'm hearing it speaking to me some things. 1 John chapter 2, and look at verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. It said, but you have an unction from the Holy One, or an anointing, and you know what? All things. You know all things. Now, there's an unction here to know all things, but unction to flow in your life as you move into the ministry God's called you. I believe every ministry that God's called you to, if you flow into it, there is an anointing. Isn't that right? But if you get out of that particular ministry God's called you to, I mean, no, there is not the anointing for that. Isn't that right? No, sir. Praise God. Then look in verse 27. Look in verse 27. But the anointing that you have received of him abides in you. You need not that any man teach you. So God will teach you things. God will show you things. That doesn't mean we don't need teachers, that's for sure. But what's God teaching us? Look back to verse 26. What's God trying to show us here? Look in verse 26. Those that would come and seduce you. How many know the Holy Ghost is in us? And He wants to show us, He wants to teach us things that are error, those who would come and seduce us. And so He's in you to teach you those things and show you if you'll listen to Him. Isn't that right? How many's ever got a green light or a red light on the inside? And all of a sudden you say, uh-oh, I'm going back up here a minute and check this thing out. Amen? And in this chapter, we're dealing with the Antichrist. We're dealing with seduction. We're dealing with a lot of things. And so He said, the Spirit has come to anoint you, to teach you of those that would come to seduce or deceive you. That's what He's saying here. Now look over in 1 John chapter 4. I believe we're all coming out of things. I know I've come out of a lot of things. Praise God. And I'm going to still come out of some things. How about you? But I'll tell you what, I have an open heart to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I do have a teachable spirit and an open mind to what the Spirit is saying. And I want to always be open and teachable. Because I've learned a long time ago, I don't know very much. He knows it all. How many know He is all? And I'm willing to be taught. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits. We have a teaching. I teach about 9 ways to try the spirits, but I won't go into that. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, many prophets, false prophets, at one time were true prophets. I mean, you know, a false prophet moves out of the spirit and he moves in the flesh as well as by demons. Isn't that right? And we could say a lot about false prophets, but look in verse 2. Hereby I know you, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ, notice, is come, where? In the fleshes of God. How many know that's in your flesh? We know Jesus came and died, isn't that right? He came in the flesh. But look down to verse 4. Here it is. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is He that's where? In you than he that's in the world. So He's come in our flesh. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Now look at verse 5 about these false prophets and this Antichrist spirit. They're of the world. Therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not of us. I wonder sometimes if people really are of God. But how many know, again, tradition can stop us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, come on, and the spirit of error. Now look in Peter. Turn to 2 Peter 3. And let's look at another scripture on error here. 2 Peter 3. The spirit of error. Verse 16. How many know some things Paul said in this chapter is hard to understand if you look in the natural? You take chapter 3 here of Peter and you look at only the natural. How many of you got a big problem? You know why? Because he said, wherein dwelleth righteousness in verse 13. Where's righteousness dwelling? Right in here. Most people look at this chapter out there in the world. Everything's going to be burned up. Well, maybe. I'm not denying that at all. I mean, no, it might be tomorrow. But I'll tell you, if you'll see this chapter within here, what God's saying in you and in me, it'll help you to understand it. But righteousness dwells in me and in you. Now look down to verse 16. He said, as also in all his epistles, this is Peter talking about Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, come on, and unstable rest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own what? Destruction. That word destruction or is perdition, which is the same as the beast. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But the next verse said, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Can you say amen? Praise God. Now, go back to Revelation 2. We saw that that seed was being violated. It grew up into a tree. It went from an herb to a tree. Now look here, and I told you that I teach 7 churches, 7 feasts, and 7 parables. I want to show you the third church with that third feast that I just read over there in Matthew 13. I mean that third parable, Matthew 13. Look here in Revelation chapter 2. Look in verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with 2 edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seed is. Satan's throne was right among this church. How many know that's the big bird? Amen. That's the big bird. And thou holdest fast my name, has not denied my faith, even in those days where an Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. And we know that his throne was not in Rome, it was not in Washington, it was here in the church, Pergamum. His throne was right there. So he's the big bird among the church. Now, I want to go over to Matthew, and I want to begin to teach some things here now out of Matthew. Go to Matthew 12. I'm going to give you three scriptures here, and we're going to deal with 7 points. Matthew 12. And look at verse 29. Matthew 12, 29. We'll go back to verse 28. Well, we'll go back to verse 27. Jesus said, if I by Beelzebub cast out demons or devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons or devils by the Spirit of God, then notice what? The kingdom of God is come unto you. I mean, when you see these demons going and being cast out, you're seeing God's kingdom at work. Can you say amen? Now look at verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Now, with that scripture, go with me to two more now. Mark 3:27. Mark 3:27, and I want to give you 7 things here. Mark 3:27. Thank you, Lord. And it says this. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Then we go to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11:21 and 22. Luke 11:21 and 22. Mark, Luke, and see. And notice what it says. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth, and what? He divides his spoil. First thing we got to do is bind a strong man. But can I tell you, there's a lot of Christians who never bind anything except get themselves bound. Amen? We've got to bind the strong man. How many know that when you bind the strong man, he's immovable? There is no mobility. He cannot operate the way he did. How many believe we have that power to bind him? Amen? Praise God. So he can't operate, he can't move, he can't mobilize like he once did. Praise the Lord. Now, it says here in this verse, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him. How many know the stronger one is Jesus in us today? It's not in our flesh. We can't bind a flea in our flesh. It's in him. When the stronger one shall come upon him, praise God. That word stronger there means that which is forcible or strength or ability. It actually means boisterous or mighty or powerful or valiant. That's Jesus. Praise God. More power, he has more weapons, and how many know he's got greater armor than the devil's got? So the first thing is you've got to bind him. Second thing is you've got to realize the stronger one's in you. And that is Jesus. And notice the third thing is, he said, he shall come upon him. He shall come upon this strong man. How many know that suddenly? Unexpected quickness. He comes knocking on his door. He said, I've come to get what you got. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. How many know when you go into a plan of attack, you don't tell the enemy nothing. When I preach, I don't like to tell anybody usually what I preach. Amen. How many know we talk too much? Isn't that right? Be swift to hear. We got to hear fast, quick. Amen. But slow to speak. Come on. Slow to wrath. But I don't like to open up and tell people what I'm going to share. Many times I have done it in this camp meeting, but I usually don't do that. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a strategy. Now notice this attack is offensive, not defensive. Most of us are on the defense. Many times. Isn't that right? But the enemy's got to be put on the run. He's got to be pursued after. We've got to put him on the ropes. Come on. Look in Leviticus 26. Thank you, Lord. I want to see him on the run, don't you? Leviticus 26, verse 6. The Lord here is talking about the land. Let's go back to verse 1 and just read down to verse 6 or so. Ye shall make you no idols nor graven images, God said. Neither rear up you a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land. Notice, in your land. Now, that was a natural land, but how many know this is land? God said, don't you put up an image of an idol in your land. But we got all kind of idols that God wants to break down. Can you say amen? Neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land or to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Where's the sanctuary today? Right here. And I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain. Hallelujah. How many know we need a fresh rain today? God said, if you won't let images and idols overtake your life, if you'll reverence my sanctuary, if you'll keep my commandments, I will give you rain. When? In due season. Praise the Lord. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit, and your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and so forth. Then God says, notice here, you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. There be no fear. I mean, a lot of Christians are walking in fear. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid, here it is, here's deliverance, evil beasts. Come on, help me. Out of where? Out of the land, out of this land, brethren. Evil beasts out of this land. Neither shall the sword, this is war, go through your land. Hallelujah. And you shall chase your enemies. Glory, I want to see that, don't you? You'll chase your enemies. They'll not chase you. And they shall fall before you by what? The sword. How many know that's our weapon? And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword, and I will have respect to you and make you fruitful, multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Glory. But look at the next verse, and don't leave it out here. What does it say? Notice. You shall eat old star, bring forth the old because of the new. Let me read another translation. Now, hear this translation. You shall eat the abundant old store of produce long kept and clear out the old to make room for the new. God wants to clear something out of you by deliverance. Come on, help me. And bring something new into you, which is from heaven. Amen? How many believe that? Oh, hallelujah. I want to give you a scripture in Deuteronomy. The Lord's bringing to me now in chapter 23, and then we'll come back here to Luke. But here in chapter 23, because God wants to rid our land of evil beasts. Chapter 23, verse 14, the Lord thy God. I want you to see this. The Lord thy God. And we know God's a spirit, and we know the spirit's in us. Isn't that right? The Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp. He's here today, isn't he? Hallelujah. Yes, he's in heaven, but he's here. His presence is here. He walked in the midst of thy camp, and that's here in our camp, to deliver thee. Notice that. And to give up thine enemies. Now, notice, God walks among you, your camp, to deliver you and give up your enemies. Another translation says, to defeat your enemies before you. God walks among you to defeat your enemies. We have some enemies. Now, notice, therefore, because God is doing this, shall thy camp be holy? I mean, oh, that's sanctification. That he see no unclean thing where, brethren? In thee and turn away from thee. That means, what does that mean if God turns away? That means we lose the blessing, we lose the anointing. And I'll tell you, you can walk away from that. But I want more of him, don't you? I don't want to lose his anointing. I'll tell you what, you know, you can stay in a place too long. And I'm looking at my own life. I mean, you can lose the anointing by staying too long in some place. Some people captivate ministries and hold them in a place too long. Now, please hear me. You can do that. And you can begin to lose that anointing. But all when you get up and start moving in God where you know he should be, how many know it begins to change? Can you say amen? Go back to Luke now. Luke chapter, where we were there a while ago. What was it, chapter 12 or 11? What was it? 11. Praise God. And notice it says here again in this verse that when this strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace, but when that stronger than he shall, notice, come upon him. So again, that's suddenly, that's unexpectedly. He comes knocking on the door of the enemy. And we said this was an offensive war, not a defensive war. The enemy's put on the run, or on the ropes, we would say, so to speak. Praise God. So we've got to get the enemy on the run. Praise the Lord. And then what else does it say in verse 22? And overcome him. I mean, on Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, there's a people that will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, help me. And they love not their lives or their souls to the death. And I'll tell you, there's going to be some who will die. But there's going to be a people that will conquer and overcome the enemy. Can you say amen? And this, he said right here in this verse, 22, that, notice, he overcame him, this enemy, this strong one. There's victory in over. This is brute force, if I can say that, and power. Praise God. He come over this strong one. He destroyed, he defeated, and he won the battle. How many know you've got to come over some things or they're going to come over you? And I believe this. Sometimes, brethren, you're overcome before you overcome. You get knocked down before you get up and rise and go. Amen? So we've got to count the cost. We've got to know our weaknesses. We've got to know our strength. We've got to know our weapons. We've got to know that God is able to defeat every enemy. And I believe, I'll tell you what I believe we need. We need great confidence in this hour. Don't lose your confidence. Don't get discouraged, because it's awful easy to allow that to come in. Isn't that right? Praise God. What else did it say here in this verse 22? It said, he now overcome him, but he taketh from him all his armor. David did that very thing. All David had was a little sling and the stone. Remember that? Hit the giant. Where did he hit him? Right in the forehead. Right in the forehead. I mean, no, that's the beast mind. And he fell forward. Remember, and he cut his head off and took his armor. Praise God. Huh? He took away all his armor in which he trusted. You know the enemy's got some armor. You know what it is? It's sin. Come on. It's sickness. It's disease. It's poverty. It's pain. It's sorrow. It's crime. It's hatred. It's war. It's fear. Discouragement. He comes to kill, steal. Come on. And destroy. But Jesus came to destroy the very works of the devil. Can you say amen? How many believe that today? I believe he did. Praise God. And notice the seventh thing is he divides the spoils or his goods. He had to first bind the strong man. So the stronger will bind the strong. That's Jesus in you and me. And I'm seeing something else. I'm seeing also the millennium here. I'm seeing the 1,000 year. How many believe the enemy's house is going to be spoiled during the millennium? You better believe it. Satan's going to be bound. His house, his goods are going to be spoiled or plundered. Praise God. He'll have no more power to kill, steal, and destroy like he did, because he'll be put in the pit. That doesn't mean, though, that there's not a beast nature in man. How many know there is a beast nature still in man? Let me show it to you in Zechariah 14. I'll show it to you. Zechariah 14. This is during the time of the millennium. 1,000 year reign. Chapter 14. If I can find it here. Praise God. Okay, look in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, notice, all that's left of the nations, which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Do you hear that? And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that they have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come up to the Feast of Tabernacles. If you'll read this whole chapter, it's about Jesus coming. It's about him being king over the earth and so forth. So even in the time of the enemy being put in the pit, you still have that rebellious beast nature in man, don't you? Can you hear me? But how many know God's raising the people up to rule and reign with Jesus? They're going to be kings, the kingdom of priests, that he's going to use to rule and reign with him. Praise God. I could give you a lot of scriptures on the house being spoiled there, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go on a little further here. Praise the Lord. Turn over with me to some scripture. Amen. Look in Mark. I want to show you something here. I want to show you three scriptures I think we should look at when it comes to deliverance. Because how many's ever been asked, well, how do you know a Christian can have a demon? How many's ever been asked that? Okay. Let's go to Mark 6. Mark 6, verse 12. Now, this is, even Jesus was still on the earth here. And it says, and they went out, the disciples went out and preached that men should repent. I want you to notice, they went out and preached that men should repent. And number two, and they cast out many devils. Well, who did the devils come out of? Those that repented. How many got devils cast out when you repented? I never did. I repented, accepted the Lord, and then I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Nobody ever said anything about demons. How about you? Should have been. I've only heard one man in my lifetime that I'm up to now that did that. And that was a long time ago. But it didn't happen to me. But let's read it again here. They went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils, and then anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. A lot of people's not going to get healed until they get delivered. Because healing and deliverance go together. Come on, don't shout me down. It's true. Now look over here in Acts. Look in Acts. In Acts chapter 8, and look at verse what, 12? Now look first there at 12 or so. Yeah, verse 12. Philip comes to Samaria. Here's an evangelist preaching. And I pray God will raise up some anointed evangelists in this hour. We need some, don't we? And when they believe Philip, notice, when they believe Philip preaching, don't ever divorce preaching and teaching with apart from deliverance. How many know that a lot of times we want to just get people delivered, but their faith has to be built up to receive deliverance. But when they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, notice, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Were they saved? Sure. Sure, they believed. They were saved. They were born again. But come on down. Come back down, though, if you will, please. And look in verse 6. The people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing something. The miracles which he did, Philip did, by the Holy Ghost. What is the miracle? Here it is, for unclean spirits. You want a miracle ministry? Here it is, right here. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many. People say, well, they shouldn't be manifest. Well, right here we see it. They're manifesting out of believers. Come on, help me now. And those that were possessed with them, many taken with palsies, this, notice that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy, come on, in that city. Oh, hallelujah. How many know there's joy in this city when you get set free? Come on, amen? Then we go to Mark. We go to Mark 16, this popular verse, a chapter we're supposed to all know. But let's look at it again. Praise God. Chapter 16. And look at verse 15. Again, Jesus said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice, the gospel must be preached again. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those of them that believe. That's you and I. What's the first sign, though? After preaching the gospel and winning them to Jesus. Come on. They shall what? Cast out devils. Now, isn't that strange? And you know what we do? We say, oh, yes, we're to go into all the world. We're to heal the sick. We're to lay hands on the sick, you know. And we can, if we take up serpents or if we do all this other, but most of them just won't confess demons can have, I mean, Christians can have demons. But the very people you went to the Lord, cast demons out of. And then get them filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that right? And that word take up serpents doesn't say that. It means remove serpents. Yes. If they drink any deadly thing. Now, you can see that two ways, too. I mean, they can drink in a lot of things that's poison. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But I want to tell you something. I believe the greatest healing ministry is yet coming with deliverance. And you know who it's going to come through? It's going to come through people like you and I. Hallelujah. No big shots, no big eyes. Come on. Just men and women of God who love Jesus. Can you say amen? So we saw in Acts that miracle ministry there. Now look in Mark 9. Look in Mark 9. I want to show this miracle ministry deliverance again. Mark 9. People's crying out for a miracle ministry. Well, here it is. Praise God. Okay. Mark, I think it's chapter 9. Okay. Let's see here. Let me get my other Bible here. Praise the Lord. I got things marked in one Bible and one another. Let me do that. Okay, Mark. Praise the Lord. I think it's chapter 8 or 9. Okay, look in chapter 9, verse 38. John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and he followeth not us. He's not in our group. He's not with us. And he's not in our church, yeah. He don't have papers with us. And we forbade him. We told him, you can't do that. You're not with us. Because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle. What was the miracles happening? This man was casting spirits out. In my name, that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I want to give you another scripture now with that. Acts 19. I got to give you that one. Acts 19. Miracle ministry. Praise God. Acts 19. Look at verse 19. Verse 18. It says here, we'll go to 18, then I'm going over to another scripture in the same chapter. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts. Now notice, these are people who believed, who confessed, and brought their magic books, and brought their books together and burned them. They didn't give them away to the neighbors, they burned them. Before all men. That's right, there you go. They didn't sell them at the swap shop. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now look over to verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, and God wrought special miracles. That means extraordinary miracles is what it means. God wrought special miracles. How? By the hands, come on, of Paul. Now, Paul was an apostle. But how many know God's not limited to just apostles? He wants all of us to be used. Come on, help me. So that from Paul's body were brought to the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits, come on, went out of them. Praise God. How many know that was demons going out of the body? And this anointing in Paul, as those claws were put up on his body, given out to the sick, they were healed of diseases. And it says right here that God wrought special miracles, extraordinary miracles, by the hand of Paul. Praise God. Now, in closing, I want to give you a couple more scriptures on some things. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm just giving scriptures that God dealt with him this morning on, okay? He was talking to me in the shower today. It's good to shower, isn't it? Good to get clean. 2 Corinthians 11. And it says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. Indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband. That husband is Jesus. That I may present you as a chaste, come on, virgin to Christ. Now, what I see in that word chaste, of course, is purity. And then, how many know that with purity you need power? And purity and power lead you to perfection or maturity. Can you say amen? Now, we know over in 2 Samuel 13:18 that the virgin's apparel was different. It had diverse colors in it. You could see that what she would wear would mark her and separate her from all the other women. She was a virgin. She'd never been touched. How many know God's got a virgin coming forth? She's never been touched. The Lamb's wife. Isn't that right? Revelation 21 says it. Let's look at it. Turn right back here. Revelation 21. We see this Lamb's wife. Most people's looking at brick and mortar, but I'll tell you, it's a people. Chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I could teach on all that, but I'm not going into that this morning. I, John, saw the holy city. What kind of city is it? It's holy city. It's new Jerusalem. And notice, it's coming down. It's not going up. It's coming down. Come on, out of the heavens, right? I mean, we're to live in the heavenlies today. Prepared as a bride, adorned or garnished for her husband, and that husband's Jesus. Then he said in verse 9. He said, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, talked with me, saying, come hither, John, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. He showed me that great city. Now notice, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, that is a people, whether you believe it or not. Then look in chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 7. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself, come on, ready. That's preparation. She's ready to meet him. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Amen. That lamb is going to be decked out in fine linen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, which is the righteousness of the saints. Now back in 2 Corinthians, we see there is a chaste virgin here. There is a pure one, a holy one that God is concerned about. And we have Paul talking here to us. Paul is a father minister. He's an apostle of the Lord. How many know we need some father ministries today? We need some ministries of mothers in Israel. We need some fathers that will watch over the little ones and love the little ones. Come on, amen. You know when God gave Solomon discernment? It's when he would say, God, if you'll just give me that discernment, hearing ear, to know how to judge this thy people. I'll tell you, when you treat the people of God right, how many know God's going to give you some discernment? Can you hear me? There are some ministers that cannot go to the body and preach. You know why? Because they hurt the sheep, and God stops them. He cuts them off. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Now, look here in this chapter now, chapter 11. Hallelujah. And let me say, 2 Corinthians 11. We're talking about a bride. We're talking about a virgin. Now, this virgin is not married to the ministry. They're married to Jesus. Can you hear what I'm saying? You know what John said in John 3:29? I'll just read it. Just listen to this. This is what he said. He said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend, that's the ministry, of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. The ministry has been put here to perfect the bride, to watch over the bride. But the bride is married to the bridegroom, not to the ministry. Can you hear that? Amen. And you can see that over there in the book of Judges, where Samson, who had a wife, and later they were separated, and she remarried, we'd say, his friend there, because it was a close association. And that's a picture there of the bride of the church being married to the ministry. But that's not true. We're married to Jesus. We're married to Jesus. Come on, say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, with this in mind, look with me. Hold your place here and go to Genesis, and I'm finishing now. I want to give you a few things that we've got to look at in Genesis chapter 3. Because we're dealing with a lot of things. Because Paul is referring here in Corinthians back to Genesis. And in chapter 3, notice verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. I want you to notice. First thing, we see that the enemy settled. Chapter 3, verse 1, notice what else it says. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Hath God said. How many know the enemy always questions that which God says? He always brings up the religious questions. You know, if thou be the Son of God. How many know he is the Son of God? And so he says the same thing here. Hath God said. Yes, God had said. Amen. Number 3, look in verse 4. Look in verse 4 there. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. He lied. So the enemy settled. He asked religious questions. And now he lies. And he said, you shall not surely die. And yet God said, you will die. Isn't that right? In verse 13, look down to verse 13. Notice what the woman says. And God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent, come on, beguiled me, and I did eat. He beguiled me. And Paul's warning us over in Corinthians. We'll go back and see that in just a minute. Then look in verse 4. Notice, and here's something we've got to be aware of, a teaching in the earth today. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, because in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. I want to tell you, we're not a god. How many know he is the true God? He is the true God. We're not little gods and little Jesuses running around like people teach. And I'll tell you something else. Another era of people teach is saying that you're Christ. We're the body of Christ, but individually we are not Christ. We have his anointing in us, yes, but we are not the Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. Praise God. Amen. That's right. Now, then we look down to verse, go over to Corinthians now. Go to Corinthians. Where we were, 2 Corinthians 11. And notice what Paul says here in this verse 3. But I fear. And now Paul's talking to the church what happened back in Genesis. Now, I don't want to get on the mark of the beast, but how many know that Eve, the thought came to the mind first, didn't it? And then she reached and took. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguile who? Eve. Through his subtlety, so your minds, my mind and your mind, should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh, now here it is, he that cometh preaches another Jesus. How many know there's another Jesus? Look in John 5, and I'll show it to you. John 5. I'm just about through. Hang on. John chapter 5, somewhere here in John 5, there's a scripture I want. Somebody might have to help me find it. Look in verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come, if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. There's another Jesus, brethren. I mean, oh, Jesus is the Spirit of truth. Amen? And, you know, it says the time will come that they'll get their own teacher. I want to read that scripture. Hang on just a second. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. He is the truth, isn't he? Jesus is truth and shall be turned into fables. And then he said there was another Jesus. What else? There is another spirit. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's that seducing spirit that comes to take you away from the faith. And what else besides another spirit? Another gospel. Let's look at this in Galatians in closing. Galatians chapter 1. The book of Galatians. You'll know your Bible when you go home, won't you? Hopefully. Chapter 1, look at verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that calleth you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. To another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We have perverters in the natural, but how many know that the greater perverters are those who pervert the word? And we don't adhere to the other either. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we've preached to you, let him be accursed. Amen? So there is another gospel. There is another spirit. There is another Jesus. Praise God. I believe God is warning us this morning. Amen? And I believe we need to know that. Praise the Lord. And walk softly before the Lord. Amen. Well, there's a lot more I was going to go into, but I'm not now. Praise the Lord. Any questions? Anything we said this morning? Okay, let's stand. Oh, sister. Uh-huh. Queen of Heaven's, that Queen of Heaven is Jezebel. That's Jeremiah 44. And I think there's another around seven, six or seven, Jeremiah. And then in Revelation 6, she said, I sit a queen. Oh, well, they probably are. That's a new one on me. Praise God. That's good, Bernie. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, praise God. Let's all pray and ask the blessing of the Lord upon the dinner today and his blessing on the rest of the day. Father, we just thank you this morning for your love. Thank you for your word. And we thank you. You're challenging every one of us, Lord, to walk humbly and holy before you. Meet every need of the camp today, Lord, as we Doc ministers this afternoon, as Carol ministers and her husband tonight. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to anoint them and to use them, Lord, and move mightily the rest of this day. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Thank you for the meal, Lord. Amen. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.